Love you, brother.
Love you too.
This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we want to show our appreciation for our pastor. Here's a little token of our esteem for you.
Thank you.
You and Lynn.
Wish Lynn was here. Thank you.
You're welcome. We need to pray for our pastor this morning. She's preaching. He's a little stressed. Lynn missed her flight, so he was up, you said, till 1:30. Trying to help her make arrangements, and she's not sure how she's getting back today. So that leads to stress for all of us. But anyway, he's here and ready to preach for us.
Amen. Children's Church. All right, good morning. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the gift, the card, and the love. Wish Lynn was here, because I feel like we're a team. So pray for Lynn. We've got several plans together. She's going to be flying into Atlanta about 1:30. And so I may miss the chili cook-off tonight. But hopefully that's the last plan. So hopefully the other two plans will turn out okay. So just pray for her that she'll have safe travels and get back here at a decent time. Amen? I have missed my sweet Lynn. We haven't been away from each other, not one night, in probably 20, 25 years. You look up codependent in the dictionary, there's me and Lynn's picture, you know. I don't care. We've been in love, right? Getting ready to celebrate 35 years, and we're best friends and all that. So, but she had a good visit with her mom. Thank you guys, you know, for praying for her. And she woke me up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was already worried about her, right? So phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll answer it, and she's crying. She says, "I missed my flight." I'm like, oh, time mix up, you know, but anyway, she got a taxi 750,000 miles away from the airport. That's what it seemed like to me. But anyway, everything worked out. She's safe and good and on the plane right now, probably flying over Arizona as we speak. But I appreciate you guys. Dave and Dewana took me out to eat at Mom and Dad's Thursday night, and that was fun. I had a good time. And then Friday night, I know you don't want to hear all about my, you come here to hear the word of God, but you'll be all right, just hang in. So Friday night, I'm just telling you the love, you know, there's lots of love. I appreciate you guys, but Friday night, Glenn and Adam and Heath invited me to go to the football game, and now I'm a Trojan fan. Everybody, and you're not going to believe it, when I was making my chili yesterday, I had a little tomato can, you know, and I was like, dumped the tomato juice in there, and I cleaned it out real good and got... And I took the paper off and got me some nuts and bolts and stuff and put it in the can and got it all fixed up, and I left it home. I was going to bring it in today and check it out. Anyway, so somebody gave me a little can with some nuts and bolts in it, and I was shaking that thing. I make a crazy noise. And it was fun, though. So the Trojans won, the region champs. If you don't know, I'm sure you guys know more about that than I do, but they're going on to the playoffs. So that was exciting. Thank you guys for, like, the froze. I wore my shorts out there. I like froze. And then Saturday I had breakfast with my mother, and I had a free coupon at Egg and I. And then at lunch I had lunch with my son Lance and Rachel. And then at dinner I had supper that night with my other son Dallas and Tori. So we had a good time. I text back and forth with my son in Canada. He's a Gator fan, and he was not happy. But he made it through. Sorry for your loss, Mr. Pete. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we know that you are in control of everything. You are sovereign. You have a plan for all of us. Lord, we know that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Father, you know I need your help this morning more than most times. So I ask you to give me the empowering grace to teach this message this morning. Lord, thank you for the folks that are here. Lord, the folks that are not here, we just ask for, you know, to bless them. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time tonight as we have fun and spend time together, fellowshipping, enjoying each other's company, and building our relationships and friendships. And we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to try to go on through the whole thing of Hebrews. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through chapter 5, verse 10. So hang with me. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start at verse 14, and we're going to go through into chapter 5, verse all the way to 10, verse 10. So everybody say amen? All right, so let's read together. It says, verse 14, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Chapter 5, "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself beset with weaknesses. Verse 3, "Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was." Verse 5, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence." Verse 8, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Everybody say amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to take a good little Bible study teaching moment through Hebrews. So stay with me. If you have your sermon notes, right? So if you need a sermon note, raise your hand. Glenn can get you one. They should be in the bulletin. Angela, thank you for picking those two songs. They were perfect. It's amazing how God just works it out, because we don't really talk about that much. So you know, she'll text me kind of what she feels like God's put on her heart, and it's just amazing how it just goes right along with the message, and so it's just another confirmation that We're in the right place, right? So, this morning's message is called Dispelling Discouragement. Now, as we all know, sometimes life can be hard. Would you agree? No matter what your age is, life sometimes can be very discouraging. And like we learned a couple of weeks ago in chapter 3, verse 13, is that we all need to encourage one another daily. Because fighting discouragement is a daily battle. Now, in this message, we're going to learn about fighting discouragement. We're going to learn about dispelling discouragement. And I know most of you know what dispel means. I had to look it up, make sure I really had a good understanding of it. So the English definition of dispel, listen to this. It's to make a doubt, feeling, or belief disappear. So this morning we're going to talk about dispelling discouragement. Now, there's four facts that we need to be aware of concerning Jesus being our high priest. Okay, so here's the four things. He is our sympathetic high priest. And by the way, I'm working on the idea of bringing in a, what's it called, a jump drive, is that right? So I can put the answers on the screen here, but my anointed administrative assistant is delayed in California. So I wasn't able to put that together this morning, but hopefully next week, God willing, I'd like to be able to put the answers up on the screen, you know. So I just think that's had a couple recommendations. And so anyway, number one is he is our sympathetic high priest. Number two, he is our sustaining high priest. Sustaining. Number three, he is our superior high priest. And number four, he is our saving high priest. So we have sympathetic, sustaining, superior, and saving high priest. So let's go into the first one now. He's our sympathetic high priest. Now, we all know that living this Christian life can be real discouraging. Especially because we look in the world and the world has these crazy morals and values that does not line up with the Word of God. It doesn't line up with us trying to live a good Christian life. So this morning, as your pastor and as your friend, I want to encourage all of you to vote. Miss Mary gave us a little insert with the voting. So please go and vote. Please do not... I'm going to just say it like it is. Please do not be irresponsible. Please do not be lazy. And go and vote. This is very important. I have never imagined in my lifetime that I would see such an evil attempt at hijacking our country. It's just crazy. Concerning the governor's race, I hope that you will pray and ask God to show you which candidate is the best man for the job. Amen? So that's all I'll say about that. Our culture is becoming increasingly hostile toward the Christian faith. As we watch the news and surf the internet, if we're not careful, we can allow all this to discourage us. It can get so bad in that discouragement spirit that it can cause us to start thinking about just giving up. So why even try anymore? And then we can start putting our heads in the sand, locking ourselves away in our quiet little secret closet and not come out. So we don't have to operate like that. As we're studying here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says we do not have to give up because we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So we're going to take the scriptures that we just read, and I'm going to go write down these scriptures in teaching this message this morning. So think about that, Pete. You know, Pete mentioned this morning in Sunday school about how great, how grand the galaxy, universe, everything is. Jesus passed right through that. He passed right through it. See, Jesus is our great high priest. because he is not just a mere man like Aaron or any of his descendants were. He is Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as Hebrews tells us, we should hold fast to our confession. Let me tell you, because Jesus will give you all the resources that we need to live this life. And sometimes we have to trust Him one step at a time. Sometimes it's more than one day at a time, isn't it? Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. But we trust in Him. He will give us the resources. Philippians 4:19, which is our memory verse today, which I don't have in the bulletin. I did the bulletin sometime in the last 14 hours. And so I hope it's okay. Philippians 4:19, which is our memory verse, says, "And by God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in Christ Jesus." Amen. He said He would. Now, let's look. In the Old Testament, the high priest was the mediator between God and the Israelites. Okay, and every year, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he would go into the Holy of Holies. And he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He would perform this every year. Year in and year out. Why? Because one sacrifice was not enough. It was not enough. So every year they'd have to do this. But Jesus, our great high priest, made one for all perfect sacrifice. Like we said, passing through the heavens. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Now he sat down because he was finished. Everybody say finished. He sat down because he was finished. Now since Jesus is the perfect high priest, listen closely, he is able to sympathize with our every temptation, with our every hurt, our every weakness, and our every need, he is able to sympathize with us. He is our great high priest. Jesus truly understands us. He knows how you feel. He knows how it feels. And what you feel and how you feel. He knows what it's like to be deserted. To be lonely. To hurt, be betrayed and rejected and abused and even killed. He understands and he experienced it all, yet without sin. Jesus, not only able to sympathize with us, listen, he is able to help us because he is the path to victory. In him we have victory over discouragement. John 16:33 says this. John 16:33. "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world." This is what Jesus is telling us. Take heart. I have overcome the world. He understands you. He understands how you feel right now. Whatever situation you may be going through. To dispel discouragement, remember, Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. So let's go to number two. He is our sustaining high priest. Now, because we have a sympathetic high priest, we can have confidence. We can draw near to the throne of grace. Now, the throne of grace refers to God's throne which overflows with grace. And if you look up this word grace right here in the scripture, some translations say it boldly, right? And confidence. It's the same word. But in the Greek, this is what it means. It means free or open speech. Think about that. He says we can freely, we can boldly with confidence go to the throne of grace. And we can be free to speak. In other words, God's given us the grace to be able to approach His throne and cry out. We can pour our hearts out to the Lord. And we can talk to Him. We can communicate with Him. We can tell Him our needs and what's going on in our life. And we can worship Him and praise Him. He understands us. This is their sympathetic understanding. This is Jesus. Verse 16. Let's look at verse 16. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." Why? The second part of this scripture tells us why. It says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we may find what? Grace to help in the time of need. Now listen to this. That the word grace in this verse doesn't refer to saving grace, but to empowering or sustaining grace. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33. Acts 4, 33 is talking about the apostles. I'm going to just read it. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace were upon them all. See, the apostles didn't need saving grace. So they were already saved. They were already born again. They were out preaching and sharing their testimony. They were talking about the resurrection of Christ. But what they needed was empowering and sustaining grace. That's what they need. That's why Scripture talks about when it says God's grace is sufficient for me. Whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, whatever we're going through, Jesus understands. He understands how we feel. And we can boldly go before the throne of God and ask the Lord to help us. And He will. He understands us. And His grace is sufficient for us. There's an old saying that goes like this. You ready? God will never put more on you then He gives you the grace to bear. Really think about that. That's not really in the Bible, but I mean that's theologically sound. I'll say it again. God would never put more on you than He gives you the grace to bear. You see, dispelling discouragement requires remembering Jesus is our sympathetic and sustaining High Priest, but also number three. Let's look at number three. He is our superior High Priest. Now, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that every High Priest was chosen among men. He was chosen to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins to God. He was able to deal with, this really struck me hard, when I was studying this, I shared in Sunday school a little bit. But he was able to deal with troubled people, this high priest that was chosen by men. He was able to deal with troubled people because he himself were troubled. We have to remember that in our lives as we interact with people, family, if we're witnessing, or if we're praying for someone for whatever reason. We have to remember not to get a judgmental, critical spirit about us. Because see, God's working on them too, right? We're learning that on Wednesday night. See, if I remember that, You know, I can be gentle, because that's what the Word of God said. We just read it. I can be gentle. You should be gentle and kind with folks that are going through troubles, that are troubling, troublemaker. Because I have troubles. I'm a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker. Don't sit here and think you're not a troublemaker. Right, guys? But in that, God gives us the grace to reach out to others, to help others, to be a blessing to others, to pray for others. This high priest had to offer these sacrifices for his own sins, just like he had to do with all the others. He did not choose this honor, the Bible says. He was called and chosen by God, just like Aaron was called and chosen. In the same way that Jesus, the Messiah, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by God the Father. He was appointed by God. There's a couple of scriptures here that he uses in Psalms. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Everybody with me? Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. I will tell you of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son, and today I have begotten you." I have begotten you. And you look up that Hebrew word begotten, and it means to become your father. To become your father. And he goes on again and quotes another Psalms in this Hebrew scripture we just read. Psalms 110, verse 4. Says the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you got to think about it for a minute, right? The Jews could not understand this. They couldn't understand how Jesus could be appointed a high priest, because only Levites who were descendants of Aaron could be a high priest. They couldn't get this. They couldn't understand this. But see, Jesus is a high priest designated by God after the order of Melchizedek. Now, it's some funky scriptures right here, but we're going to break them down. Everybody with me? We'll talk more about Melchizedek a little bit later on in a couple more chapters. But here's the thing that stands out to me on this, that Melchizedek was also king and priest. He was both king and priest during the time of Abraham. And this was way before Aaron and any of the Levite descendants. Way before they was even born. You see, Melchizedek was neither a descendant of Aaron or from the tribe of Levi. And here's another cool thing about Melchizedek. He was king of Salem, which is an ancient name for Jerusalem. So if you look at Aaron and all those Levite descendants, there was not one king. But Melchizedek was king, and so was Jesus. Jesus, we know, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the great high priest, which makes him superior to all other high priests and all other kings, because he was chosen by God. He is the Messiah, our Savior, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And see, this King, King Jesus, can relate to his people. Really think about that. That's beautiful, isn't it? He can relate. Verse 7 says this. We just read verse 7. Let me do it again. It says, "In the days of his flesh," is what? Whose flesh? Yeah, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Guys, Jesus lived on earth as a man. Yes, he was also God, but he lived on earth as a man so he could understand our problems and be able to offer up prayers to the Father for us. These are serious prayers for us. He intercedes for us now. And these are prayers like we know nothing about. At least I don't. You may have sweated blood, but I don't know. I've never had. I've cried and laid on the floor before. Anybody done that one? Man, things are just getting rough, you know. Luke 22:44 says this. Luke 22:44. And being in agony, talking about Jesus, being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's some pretty serious praying, isn't it? Have you ever been totally overwhelmed by a problem? I think most of us have. If you haven't, hang on. Because life will come. Come on. When you are, Jesus knows how you feel. And He understands. He understands. He also teaches us a small example of a prayer that we need to remember. Luke 22:42. This is Jesus. This is Jesus now. Ready? Some of you are familiar with this. He says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. By becoming human, Jesus learned through experience how to be obedient and how difficult it can sometimes be to fully obey God's will. Listen closely to this next statement. Therefore, He understands how difficult it can be for us to live for God in a discouraging world. He understands how difficult it can be living for God in a discouraging world. So to dispel discouragement, remember, Jesus is our sympathetic, sustaining, and superior high priest. And then the last one, number four, looking at verse 9 again, and being made perfect. Everybody say perfect. Being made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. If you look at that word perfect in the Greek, what it means is it means finished. It means complete. It really refers to a completion of a process or a plan. This process, this plan has been completed. John 19:30 says, when Jesus has received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. What was finished? His ministry? No, of course not. His ministry still goes on today. See, what was finished was God's plan of salvation was finished through Jesus' perfect sacrifice. I really need you to really get this one thing right here. Everybody ready? Everything that can be done to secure your eternal salvation was done by Jesus on the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to read that again. Some of you need to hear this deep down. You need to get it from here to here. Everybody look, everybody see me? A lot of you need to get it from here to here. Everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that can be done to secure your eternal salvation was done by Jesus on the cross. Now, we have to obey Him. We have to obey him. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And it says what? Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. That word repent right there means have a change of mind. Every time I hear myself say that, I can hear Billy Graham saying that like 1,000 times. Repent means a change of mind. Repent and be saved. When you repent of your sins, I've seen this so many times, when you repent of your sins and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, your life choices will begin to change. There's fruit that's evidence. You're not going to be perfect. Never will be. But your life, my life choices will begin to change. Would you agree with that? You will stop doing some of the things that you were doing. A lot of things, hopefully. But we're growing in grace. As long as our heart's beating, we're going to continue to grow in grace, his mercy. But our life choices should start changing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel we all know means the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, to this he called you through our gospel, which is the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to close, remember, dispelling discouragement requires remembering Jesus is our sympathetic, our sustaining, our superior, and our saving high priest. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the writer of Hebrews. Thank you for loving us. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to be obedient to the Father's ultimate plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that needs to make that decision to repent and believe and follow Christ, or during this song of invitation, they'll come down and I'll be glad to talk with them and pray with them. Maybe someone would like to join the church today. That would be awesome. We love you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.